We've got Amy Olivier right here in the WNRN studios this morning. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
I am really happy that you're here. Last time I saw you, you were on your way up to see, was it Conan O'Brien and his
yes.
late night show? And you were raving about the dress you'd bought here at in Charlottesville.
Right. And I didn't end up wearing it. That's the
Oh, really?
Part. No, I didn't. But it is a fine dress that I did get here.
So you played at the Gravity Lounge, which sadly is not with us anymore. It's actually one of the last shows that I saw there was with you. But I was so glad because I've been following you with these couple of records that you put out, one that Jim Dickinson produced, and maybe I've heard a rumor that you're fast at work on a new one?
It's actually been slow at work on a new one.
Okay.
Jim Dickinson, I wanted to work with him again because I had such an amazing experience the first time, and so we had slated to record the record in January of this last year. And then, of course, sadly, he passed away, so it took some time for me to pick a new producer that I wanted to work with, because I'm not real familiar with a lot of producers, and I just didn't really want to work with anybody else, you know, so it took a little time, and then once I did find somebody that I got really excited about working with, we had to wait for him to become available, so it's not until July that we're going into the studio.
So who are you going to be working with?
He's a fellow named Craig Sylvie. He's originally from the West Coast, but been living in London for some time, and he's produced some Portishead records and Last Shadow Puppets, and he's been mixing Arcade Fire's new records, so he's not an Americana producer, you know, which I'm really excited about, just to see, you know, how this might come out different from my previous two records with his, you know, involvement.
Well, it might be kind of like some of the other folks working with Rick Rubin, because, you know, he takes people that don't usually do Nine Inch Nails stuff and and has them do something really different and new, but still on the same kind of path. So, but you also are not a stranger to other kinds of music besides Americana. I was kind of amused to read that you were fronting a punk band as a teenager.
Well, I think calling it a punk band is probably a little bit too extreme. I think I made a mistake when I ever said that, because it was really more of like a teen angst, aggressive, alternative rock band. Lots of time signature changes and quirky, I don't know, it was just all really over the top sort of teen angst band. I thought we were great, but punk is maybe not it.
Did you always play bass, even in that band?
No, not at all. I just fronted the band and flailed my arms and screamed a lot. That's pretty much it.
We've got Amy Olivier in the WNRN studios. She's had one album that reached number 2 on the Americana charts, and we're really glad to have her back in the area, and she'll be playing at Mockingbird Rouge Music Hall tonight. A tune for us this morning? What are you going to play first?
We're going to play a little tune called Never Been Sadder. Are you fellas ready? on drums with me is George Slupik, and this is Joe Restivo playing the acoustic guitar. Thanks for getting up early with me, fellas. Wash away the dirty feeling. big mistake. But I'm not gonna jump, I'll keep my feet on the ground. Gonna paint my face up like a circus clown. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. To be good, good as I could be. I wanted to be free, and now I'm alone. But there are no strings on me, just this noose around my neck. The other end is in the tree where the cradle used to rock. The bough was broken, the branch burned in the fire. These embers long ago have turned to lie. But the soap I tried to make, wash away the dirty feeling, like I made a big mistake. But I'm not gonna jump, I'll keep my feet on the ground. Gonna paint my face up like a circus clown.
You're listening to WNRN. We've got Amy Levere Trio in WNRN studios this morning. And they're playing tonight at Mockingbird Reach Music Hall. She's put out a couple albums nationally on her very own Archer label. And Amy, you spent some time in Nashville, but then you made this journey to Memphis, and you've been there, what, almost 10 years?
10 years in May this year.
And what... you know, Nashville is a great place for people to play music and get noticed, but that obviously wasn't what you wanted. You went off to Memphis. What was appealing about Memphis? What have you gotten since you've been there?
Well, at the time that I moved to Nashville, I moved there for a job. I didn't move there specifically for the music scene at all. And actually, at the time, I had been living up in Detroit, and I really hadn't reconnected whatsoever back with my classic country roots or country music at all. So Nashville wasn't appealing to me in this music sense at the time. I went there really for a job and to get away from my, you know, high school world. You know, I was ready to grow up and do something different. And but all the cool hip shows were in Memphis, so it seemed like I was always driving to Memphis for a show I wanted to see. And so I, you know, in Nashville, I did get a band together and have a band there briefly, and I absolutely re-fell in love with country music. But Memphis just suited my fancy a lot more, and so I decided to move to Memphis, and I prefer it, and I love it, and it's home. But because I have business and reason to be in Nashville often now, Nashville is a really hip town, and it's a far more hip town than it was when I was living there. It seems to be really just sort of the culture of it is getting so much more diverse, and the music is so much more diverse than it was when I was living there. So it's a very cool city, too, but Memphis is still the sparkle in my eye.
What kind of shows were you driving to see in Memphis that wasn't happening in Nashville?
Honestly, I had heard of this band called the Mudflaps, and they played every Wednesday night at Murphy's, and so I was going regularly there to see this band called the Mudflaps. How would you explain the Mudflaps? You never saw them? it was just a really, truly just straightforward rock and roll. They were just amazing musicians. And it was sort of like, it was, you know, influenced by like the Replacements or the Stones. You know, it was just really incredible, pure, beautiful rock and roll music. And there wasn't a house band like that around Nashville that I had ever seen that was really, you know, just amazing like that. It was always a great time. So that's really why I kept going down to Nashville. And then there was a band called The Oblivions and The Raining Sound. And mostly it was just kind of these, you know, garage rock bands that were happening in Memphis that Nashville scene I hadn't found.
And out of you know, your time in Memphis, you put out these really excellent Americana albums. So how did, you know, you're obviously driven by an appeal for pure rock and roll, but you play Americana music.
I have no explanation for that whatsoever. I think it's just that when I sit to write a song, it just becomes a sad country song, and I don't know why. Yeah, but what you enjoy and what you end up producing is not always the same thing, I guess.
Well, you've been in front of, we talked about the fact that you went to the Conan O'Brien show a little over a year ago, I guess like a year and a couple months ago. But you've been in front of cameras before. You were in Walk the Line as Wanda Jackson. Well, that must have been fun.
It was amazing, but I should hardly be allowed to say I was in that movie. It's such a small part, but it was, yeah, I got to portray Wanda Jackson, the queen of rockabilly. You know, I was a fan first, so it was a really big honor to get to do that. And it was just, it was so surreal because the scene that I was in, it was set in a, actually, what is a middle school now in Memphis, but it was the high school where Elvis Presley went to school, and they had so many people in the extras, in the audience of this performance of the show, and it was, they were all just so perfectly 50s, you know, the costuming was so wonderful, and it was just so strange to be standing on that stage with looking out at that audience, looking like that. It was cool. It was really weird. It was definitely time traveling.
Well, and you've been hosting a show recently, or being a part of another show?
The first one is actually going to be June 30th in Memphis. There's a brand new, amazing, beautiful, beautiful theater called the Playhouse, and they've offered me a seasonal series there where I could be very self-indulgent. So it's going to be my first opportunity to have a string section and a little horn section, and just I'm getting a lot of my friends together from Memphis to come out and, you know, just do something really self-indulgent on a lot of original material. So that's going to be the first one, and then I hope to bring in some other musicians that I've met while touring for a future show. So to make it, you know, mix it up. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. It's a really, really, really nice space.
We got Amy Levere live in the WNRN studios this morning, playing tonight at Mockingbird Roots Music Hall. Another tune for us? What are you going to play for us?
Something I think I could sing at 9 in the morning. We'll try this little Jimbo Mathus tune called Nightingale. Jimbo Mathus founded a band called Squirrel Nut Zippers, and he is fabulous. He's got a great band called Jimbo Mathus and the Knockdown South, and if he comes this way, go see him. But he wrote this song for my first record. The record's called This World Is Not My Home, which is actually another song that he wrote. But this is called Nightingale.
It's one I've learned since you've been gone.
the silent song that sadness brings, oh, it's sad as the song the nightingale sings. It's one I've learned since you've been gone. It's one I'll learn to sing from now on.
WNRN, Amy LeVere live in the WNRN studios this morning. Been a fan of her last couple of records, and glad to have her here in the WNRN studios this morning. So tell us a little bit about this. You're still writing these sad country songs. You call them that, but I don't know. They for me, I think one of the reasons I really like them is they're a little sassy, you know, and kind of fun, and you know, not just, oh, he left me. There's just some other couple more twists in it than just those things. So what? Talk to me a little about your writing process, and what kind of, some of the things did you come up with? How do you go about writing a song, Amy?
Honestly, I write a song like I have a gun to my head.
It's like, is it like the silver gun that you have on the front of that
much.
One? With sparkles.
It's so bizarre, but it's like, I love what I do so much, and I love my job and my life, and songwriting, it's not something I feel like I do naturally or that I'm great at. I just know that it's part of it, and it's therapeutic when I do it, but I labor over it, I struggle with it. When I sit down to write a song, it feels like I literally am chained to some sort of office desk, and I don't know how to explain it, but writing songs is really, really hard for me, and I take it really seriously, and I'm really hypercritical about it. But it doesn't, I don't just sit and write like it's some joy and flows from me. It's hard for me.
Well, you cover one of Jimbo's songs, so you obviously do some covers. Do you collaborate?
Oh, man, I have no shame in performing someone else's material. I really think that I'm a great storyteller, and I like carrying on these great stories. I find no shame in it whatsoever. I'm not afraid to play someone else's tune. But
do you like to have you done any collaborations in terms of songwriting at all?
Never. I never ever have. I've had a lot of opportunities and a lot of people that have offered, let's go write some stuff together, and it's just never. I've never done it. I think I'm far too insecure to sit there and do it in front of somebody. Really.
Well, I enjoy your songs, and we'd love to hear one more before you go.
Okay. Thanks for having us on the show, and I hope some people come out tonight.
Come on out.
Come on out. I sing so much better at 9 p.m. than I do at 9 a.m. And George will have so many more round things in front of him. All right. I've heard a backbeat. That a weird, weird beat. Everywhere I put my feet. It was the beat of song. It was the beat of the moon. I know I'll be here tomorrow if I don't find another love soon. So I keep walking.
Live in the WNRN studios this morning, and she is playing tonight at Mockingbird Reach Music Hall in Stanton. Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming in and playing live.
My pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to this new album whenever it comes out, whenever it works that it comes my way. But good luck on your tour. Where are you headed after you're going to be in Stanton?
We're headed up north to a festival in Rochester, New York, and I think we've got some stops on the way. We're going to Easton, Maryland, and
Harrisburg.
Watertown.
Ithaca.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad these guys have a better wrangle on they're on it. we're just working our way up and back and playing mostly all new cities I've never played in. We usually have always played in the big cities, so we're getting out a little bit more. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for coming in and playing live in the WNRN studios.